This journey I've been on started when I started reading a book called Deep Survival. And it's written by a man named Lawrence Gonzalez. And the subtitle of the book is Who Lives, Who Dies, and Why? And what he did in the book is he studied a series of catastrophes, a series of things that went wrong. And he talked about the people who died and the people who lived. There were a lot of people who died in the Twin Towers because they were told to go back to their offices and wait for help. And they were waiting for help when the towers collapsed. There were other people who got out because they didn't wait. They got out of the building. He had two interesting points. The first point, sooner or later, everything in your life breaks or fails. Everything in your life breaks or fails. Second, you are deciding right now whether or not you will survive when whatever it is that breaks in your life, breaks. That made me think about us and the church in North America during this time of pandemic and how we reacted and how we struggled and things that went right and didn't get wrong and things that didn't go right, things that went wrong. So who was it that made it through the pandemic? Who was it that thrived in the pandemic and who didn't? Reminded me of a verse of Jesus' teaching. This is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Stand with me in honor of God's word as I read this familiar passage. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded the house, yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And great was the crash of that collapse. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, because he was teaching them as like one who had authority and not like their scribes. Because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not like one of their scribes. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. We know the pandemic is not the last thing that's going to go wrong. So we pray now in this moment, we will prepare to survive and even thrive when the next thing that's going to go wrong does. And we pray this in your name. The crowds were amazed at the teaching of Jesus because he taught as one who knew what he was talking about. That word authority means not only do you have the head knowledge for what you're talking about, but you have the heart knowledge, you have experiential knowledge, you have lived through this so that you teach with somebody who knows what they're talking about. Jesus was a seasoned veteran of life. Jesus is right about two things in this teaching. One, he's right about the coming of the storms. I tell you all the time, we live in one of three places, either in the storm, just out of the storm, or about to go into it. That's where we live. In the storm, just out of one, or about to go into one. The storms come to everybody. There was no difference in how Jesus described the storms. There was wind, there was flooding, there was great rain. Both hit, the same storm hit both houses. There wasn't anything different in the quality of the storm. Anytime something goes wrong, for most of it, we go into a panic. Why did God do this to me? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why is this happening to me? On and on. The first thing that we do when we endure something going wrong is we look for somebody to blame, or we look for somebody to get us out of the trouble that we're in. Gonzalez's book points out that, one, we live in a universe that is a testimony to failure. What do you think about it? Life forms that didn't adapt to the changing climate or universe, they didn't make it. We celebrated Richard Branson flying into space and the successful launch and landing of his rocket, and it was pretty cool. But you know, a lot of those rockets blew up before that one made it safely. You and I are living with things that are on the edge of our technology. Our cars are on the edge of our technology. They don't break much, and that's when they release them to sale. When they don't break much. We are testing driverless cars now. Okay, we've got roadways and we've got plants that are testing driverless cars. We have some cities that are with limited bases are testing driverless cars. Why haven't they released them for public sale? They wreck. They run over people. They're not quite there. Got a little more tinkering. Okay? Anything we have is at the limit of our technology. Anything we do as human beings is at the limit of how well we know how to do it. Experience means, wisdom means, I just messed up before you did. We are at the limit of our technology. Sooner or later, everything goes wrong. It's just life. Sooner or later, people you love die. Sooner or later, the economy turns up or down. Sooner or later, you lose your job. Sooner or later, your family struggles. Sooner or later, life happens. Not only should we not be surprised it happens, we should anticipate it. We should prepare for the moment it goes wrong. How do you do that? Well, you know, we have a lot of friends who make their living when things go wrong. Firemen, firefighters make their living when things go wrong. You don't call the firehouse to tell them you're having a great day. Somebody's in trouble. Something's on fire. And do you know what these firefighters do? They drill. They practice. When I was a chaplain in the fire department, I got so tickled. They were practicing getting on the truck. That was the drill for that day. They would go upstairs. They would sit in the living quarters of the firehouse. They would sound the alarm. The firefighters would jump down the pole. They would jump into their boots. They would pull up their suspenders, and they would get on the truck, and they would drive the truck to the end of the driveway. Chief was standing there with a stopwatch. Click, too slow. Do it again. They take off their boots, go back upstairs, wait, sound the alarm, do it again. Why? Because when the fire alarm sounds, You don't have time to find your shoes. Okay? Now, how many of you did what I did this morning? Got dressed, put my socks on, then we look for our shoes. I have a place in my closet where I put my shoes. Never. My shoes are at the last place I sat down when I was wearing them. That could be at the chair in the bedroom. That could be in the chair in the living room. That could be in my study. It could be anywhere. So I'm walking around in my sock feet, tracing my life for the last week, trying to find my shoes, trying to remember the last time I wore these black shoes. They drill. The military drills. Police officers drill. Banks drill. Have you heard the stress test? It's a drill for the banks. What happens if these things happen in our economy? Can you as a bank handle it? They drill. You and I have to understand and have to put a sense of urgency to our discipleship. Because discipleship is when we are drilling, preparing, practicing to survive when things go wrong. Now, what is it that most of you think of when we say discipleship? All right. We're going to go to a class. We're going to listen to some stories about Jesus. The teacher's going to ask us some questions. The answer to every question is Jesus. And then we're going to go get something to eat. That's discipleship. Have you been reading about the crackdown in Hong Kong? Chinese officials cracking down from the freedom protest in Hong Kong. Do you know one of the guys they arrested is a guy named Jimmy Lai? Have you heard that name? He was a publisher of the paper. He's also a deeply committed Christian. Now, they're going to arrest Jimmy Lai. They're going to put him in a prison cell, most likely solitary confinement. And the only Bible that he will have will be the Bible that he's remembered. The Bible he's remembered. You get the phone call. Something's gone wrong. You're sitting in the waiting room of the emergency room. The only Bible you will have will be the Bible you have remembered. When the friend that you're sitting with begins to come unhinged, not able to handle the pressure of that moment, the only scripture you'll be able to reassure them with is the scripture you have remembered. No one teaches us better and more about this than Jesus himself. When he's tempted in the wilderness, when he hangs on the cross, he quotes memory verses from memory. He's tempted by Satan. He gives three memory verses that he would have learned as a child. Joseph most likely would have taught him. While they were working in their shop, Jesus would have been hanging around with Joseph, and Joseph would have said, "What's your memory verse for today?" Jesus would have said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, There's more. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Good, say it again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but for every word that comes from the mouth of God. Good, Jesus. 40 days with no food. Exhausted. Satan tosses a rock at the feet of Jesus and says, "You're the Son of God. If you're that hungry, turn the rock into bread." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. When you open the Bible, the goal is to get the words off the page into your mind, into your heart, so that it shapes your thinking, forms your desires, and becomes the words that come out of your mouth when the worst thing happens. Paul, on trial for his life, quotes scripture. Quote scripture to King Agrippa. Now, where is that scripture at? He doesn't say to King Agrippa, "Hand me a Bible. Let me show you something." He quotes it from memory. What Bible will you have when you're sitting in a place and there's no Bible for you to take? There's no Bible for you to read. The only scriptures you will have will be those that are written on your heart. Discipleship is not hearing stories about Jesus. It is the drilling of a disciple, making sure we will survive when the worst thing happens. Prayer. I want to pray so much that I know the mind of Christ and I know His heart, so that I know what He will be doing even in those moments I can't see Him. Do you know anybody that well? Where given the situation, and I can tell you how they would react. Why? I know them. I know what he'll do. I know what she will do. I have spent that kind of time with them. We want to spend so much time in prayer that we know how to pray even in those moments when we don't know what to pray. Have you been there? Have you been there when you are so scared that words don't come? Where you don't have the capacity in the seconds that you have to work through everything to come up with the right prayer to pray. The only thing you can come up with is, "Jesus, help me," or even just "Jesus." That's the only thing you can pray. Do you know Christ well enough? Have you spent enough time with Him so that you are confident in how He will act? You know what He will do even when you can't see Him. This is not the last time we're going to face something like the pandemic. There's going to be something else. And now the scientists are all excited telling us how many viruses there are out there that can kill us all. This won't be the last time that we have to find a new way to get through. There needs to be some kind of urgency to our discipleship. Here was the second point from Gonzalez. you've already made the decision on whether or not you'll survive when things go wrong. Sooner or later, everything in your life goes wrong. And right now, you have already decided whether or not you will survive. He talked about skiers who were caught in an avalanche. And you know, when you're under tons of snow, it's too late to Google how to survive an avalanche. Okay? When you're flying a top-end engine fighter jet and the engine flames out, it's too late to look in the instruction manual what to do when the engine goes out. You better know. You better know it like the back of your hand. You better know it so that you go into the process without even thinking about it. Our discipleship should be so purposeful, so intent, so urgent that we act like Jesus and don't even think about it. Sooner or later, it's going to break. You're going to get the phone call that you didn't want to get. The doctor's going to tell you what you didn't want to hear. And you will have already made the decision about whether or not you'll get through it. We need to have some kind of urgency about our discipleship so that we can act like Jesus and not even think about it. First, you need to get in the Word. I hope you read lots of books. I hope you are a lifelong learner, but nothing takes the place of Scripture in the life of the believer. People will send me an email. What book should I be reading? My first response back is, are you reading the Bible? Second, you should be in a group. Now, I don't know if your group is two or three guys over coffee. I don't know if it's ladies in your neighborhood. I don't know if it's ladies that you work with. I don't know if it's people in your school. I know that there's a handful of people around you who are eager to study the Scripture, who are working through the same things that you are. You may not know who they are, so start praying that Jesus will show you who they are so you can get together in a group. You have to study Scripture in a group. Why? The first person you lie to is whom? You. You'll read a passage of Scripture and it will say, don't do this, don't do that. And you'll put the Bible down and go, well, I'm glad I don't have a problem like that. I hope whoever needs this word is getting it. If you don't have brothers or sisters around you going, yes, you do. Don't you remember the time? And who can bring up your most embarrassing moment. If you don't have brothers and sisters around you, you never will take the word seriously. You have to do it in a group. And you have to do it with such desperation and urgency of knowing that when you get together, you are deciding who makes it and who doesn't. Things will go wrong. The storms come to everybody. And you've already decided whether or not you will survive that storm, whether your house is built on the rock or built on the sand. You've already made that decision. In fact, you're making it now. Let's pray together. To bow your head, to close your eyes. I don't want to do anything to put you on the spot or embarrass you, but I do want you thinking about the seriousness of this moment. COVID didn't break anything. The pandemic didn't break anything. But, buddy, it showed us some things that were broken. It won't be the last time something goes wrong. And right now, you're making that decision. For some of you, that decision is to find one of our ministers. You'll find them out. They're out. You'll see the badges. They're standing near the groups area. They're standing over in the mission. Any of those areas, you can find somebody who will talk to you about a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not in a group, get in one today. You'll see the groups kiosk out in the foyer, out in the atrium. Go directly to that kiosk and say, I need to find a group. We'd love to have you as part of this church family, so you come. Go to the membership kiosk. We'll get that process started. Sooner or later, everything breaks. And you're making the decision right now whether or not you survive it. You'll survive it if your life is built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, every life is now open before you, every heart. So we pray the choices we make now are exactly what you want.